Good Friday at 3 o'clock in honor of our Lord, who was crucified and died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All the lessons and the collects from Isaiah and John will draw our hearts to Christ crucified for us, because we have the Tenebrae this evening, Easter Vigil tomorrow, and Easter Sunday. We begin with the collect of the day. Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. His many were astonished at you. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressions. Yet he bore the sins of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all, to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him, that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The epistle is from Hebrews, chapters 4 and 5. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you will that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn 440, verse 1, Jesus, I Will Ponder Now.
Oh, sacred hand of wounded,
reading. So, the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl, who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of the man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire, because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Verse 2 of the hymn.
You say that I am a king.
For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. The third verse of the hymn. they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. The fifth verse of the hymn.
Came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness.
His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and olives, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. The seventh verse of the hymn.
Of us all, the Lamb that is led
to the slaughter. The lamb that was slaughtered among the Jews was remembering of the Passover, a remembrance of the Passover. The lamb was slaughtered and the blood was put over the doorposts of the heart of their houses. Jesus' blood is now put over the cross. And when God saw the blood in Egypt, the blood of the firstborn animal, reminding them that God would pass over their houses when the firstborn in Egypt died, God saw the blood and forgave. God sees the blood of his only son, Jesus, on the cross, and through that covers our sin. Jesus is God's servant. Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus, from Hebrews, is the great high priest. You know, one of the reasons why we in the Lutheran Church do not call our pastors priests, but call them pastors, which means shepherd, is that we only have one priest, Jesus. Jesus is the great high priest who passed through the heavens and now brings us to the throne of God's grace. Even though he was tempted like us, he never sinned. He kept the law perfectly. You see, a high priest makes intercession for us. Jesus is the best high priest we could ever have. Because he is true God, he has one hand in heaven. And because he is true man, he has another hand on earth. He's the go-between. He's the connection between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is God's servant. Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is our great high priest. And Jesus is God's son. Hebrews said that he is the source of eternal salvation because he was a son who learned obedience through what he suffered. I suppose Jesus could have understood what it's like to be a man on earth just because of his omniscience. But he knew that would not truly meet our needs. The only person who has credibility to you if you lost your child in a car accident is someone else who lost their child in a car accident, who can truly say, I know what you're going through. Jesus knows exactly what we're going through because he walked in the dust of this earth. He was thirsty upon the cross. He had to eat and sleep. He learned obedience. Even though he was the Son of God in eternity, he became the Son of Mary in time and shared our flesh and blood. Oh, how great is the love of Jesus. I will never understand people who say, I don't know if God loves me. Could there be any more proof than his Son, Jesus Christ, is the proof that God loves us? Jesus is God's Son, the great high priest, the righteous one, and the servant. He is also that man of Nazareth. When Pilate stands in front of Jesus of Nazareth and asks him if he's the king of the Jews, Pilate is utterly confused. Who is this carpenter from this little town of Nazareth who people are claiming he's the king of the Jews? And he won't even answer me. But as he began to speak to Jesus, he realized, this is some great man. Jesus, looking him right in the eye, tells him, you'd have no authority over me except it had been given from you from above. The one that handed me over to you is guilty of the greater sin. When Jesus talks about how whoever listens to me knows the truth, Pilate, being a jaded Roman, says, ha, what is truth? Here, Pilate was standing in front of truth incarnate, and he said, what is truth? Here Jesus is, the King of the Jews, portrayed to the whole world today. Everywhere there are Bibles in this country, including in hotel rooms. And Jesus, truth incarnate, the King of the Jews, and the Jesus of Nazareth, who came to die in our place and be crucified, is portrayed to the whole world, yet the world in unbelief says, what is truth? Nobody knows what truth is, but truth is found in Jesus, incarnate, a crucified man
with a crown of thorns and blood running down his face. And that is truth. And this Jesus, who is King of the Jews, who wore a crown of thorns, will come on the last day with a crown of gold upon the eternal throne. When they place above Jesus of Nazareth the title King of the Jews, they put it in three languages: Aramaic, which is Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. This was a cosmopolitan sentence saying to all the people in the Roman Empire, even though they were mocking him, here is your king, the King of the Jews. And they pierced his side, but they did not break his legs. He was pierced upon the cross for our transgressions. The King of the Jews, water and blood came forth from his body when the soldier pierced him with a spear. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who bled for us, is showing us in the shedding of his blood, pouring forth both water and blood. The church has always seen these as symbols of both baptism and Holy Communion. From the body of Christ comes the true washing and water of holy baptism and the blood of Holy Communion. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "It is finished," completed the work of our justification, our atonement, our redemption, once for all. The sacrifice has been made. And you know what a Christian is? A Christian is someone who believes that. You know what a non-Christian is? Someone who does not believe it. There are only two types of people in this world: those who believe what I just said, what Jesus said, and those who do not believe. But to those who believe, John says, he gives power to become the sons of God. We become sons of God, small letter S, because we are incorporated through baptism into Jesus, the Son of God, capital letter S. So as we complete this service and bring the litany and prayers before our Lord during this Holy Week, let us rejoice that the Lamb without blemish has bled for you and for me. We do not need to make atonement for our sins. Christ has made full atonement. Let us praise Jesus, the crucified one, the Lamb without blemish, our righteousness, our truth, truth incarnate. To Jesus be glory forever and ever. Amen. We now sing the hymn "A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth," hymn 438.
stand for the bidding prayer.
Let us pray for the whole Christian church that our Lord God would defend her against all of the assaults and temptations of the adversary and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy, so that your church spread throughout all the nations may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in the true faith and persevere in the confession of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for all the ministers of the word, for all the vocations in the church, and for all the people of God.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers which we offer before you, for all your servants in your holy church, that every member of the same may truly serve you according to your calling, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for our catechumens, that our Lord God would open their hearts and the door of his mercy, that having received the remission of all their sins by the washing of regeneration, they may be mindful of their baptism and evermore be found in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and understanding of our catechumens, that rejoicing in their new birth by the water of holy baptism, they may forever continue in the family of those whom you adopt as your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of man, and because you have ordained the punishment of evildoers for the praise of those who do well, all the powers that exist in all the nations of the world, we humbly pray you graciously to regard your servants, especially our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray our Lord God Almighty that he would deliver the world from all error, take away disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, and grant health to the sick and a safe journey to all who travel.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who were in any tribulation and distress, those who cry to you, graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God, in his Holy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and gather them into his holy family, the church.
Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death, but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for peace, that we may come to the knowledge of God's holy word, and walk before him as is fitting for Christians.
Almighty and everlasting God, King of glory and Lord of heaven and earth, by whose Spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, the God of peace and the author of all concord, grant us, we implore you, your heavenly peace and concord, that we may serve you in true fear, to the praise and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy and graciously grant them such things as are needful for them and profitable for their salvation.
Almighty everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance and may have the same love and be of one accord and one mind and heart with us and with your whole Christian church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down his blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his own goodwill.
O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word you created and you continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his dwelling in our hearts, we may, by your grace, be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth and whatsoever pertains to our bodily need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Finally, let us pray for all things for which our Lord would have us to ask in his prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We turn and face the cross, processing into the sanctuary.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. O come, let us worship him. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. O come, let us worship him. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. O come, let us worship him. Thus saith the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me, for I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. Oh, my people, holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, leave us not to bitter death. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Hymn 434, verse 1.
Holy and mighty God, holy and most keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy.
Verse 3. Lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.